vavatu, sahanao bhunaktu, sahaviryan karavavahai, tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shribasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 29, Expressions of Love for Krishna. Text 2.4.16. From not obtaining one's desired object. So this is in, okay, within the context of
remorse.
Okay. O Krishna, killer of the Aga demon. My body is afflicted with age, my words are uncontrolled, and my mind is without memory power. What to speak of attaining the moon of bliss on seeing you? I have not even attained the opportunity of desiring to worship you. Right, so you say, let alone have I attained actually seeing you, and therefore the happiness that comes from that. But I haven't even gotten the, you know, like the drive to even want to... having the desire to serve you. Is that, yeah. Srila Prabhupada. One aged devotee of Krishna addressed him in this way. My dear Krishna, O killer of the demon Aga, my body is now invalid due to old age. I cannot speak very fluently. My voice is faltering. My mind is not strong, and I am often attacked by forgetfulness. But my dear Lord, you are just like the moonlight. And my only real regret is that for want of any taste for your pleasant shining, I did not advance myself in Krishna consciousness. This statement is an instance of lamentation due to one's being unable to achieve his desired goal. 2.4.17. From failure to accomplish an action. Right? So, because it mentions that doing an action and not getting the result, or not performing the action that would get the result. Right? Today in a dream I was picking flowers and very carefully made a garland out of them. But just when I thought of offering it to the heart of Mukunda, my sleep broke. Srila Prabhupada. One devotee said, this night I was dreaming of collecting various flowers from the garden, and I was thinking of making a garland to offer to Krishna. But I am so unfortunate that all of a sudden my dream was over, and I could not achieve my desired goal. This statement is an instance of lamentation resulting from non-fulfillment of one's duties. 2.4.18. Remorse arising from impending disaster. I am so unfortunate. Why did I take my son to Mathura? Why did I not forcibly keep him in my house? In Mathura, the elephant desires to afflict my son, just as Rahu desires to afflict the moon. Srila Prabhupada. When Nandamara saw his foster son Krishna embarrassed in the sacrificial arena of Kamsa, he said, how unfortunate I am that I did not keep my son bolted within a room. Unfortunately, I have brought him to Mathura, and now I see that he is embarrassed by this giant elephant named Kuvalaya. It is also as though the moon of Krishna were eclipsed by the shadow of the earth. This is an instance of lamentation caused by reversed conditions. 2.4.19. Remorse from arising from committing an offense from the 10th canto. My Lord, just see my uncivilized impudence. To test your power, I tried to extend my illusory potency to cover you, the unlimited and primeval supersoul, who bewilder even the masters of illusion. What am I compared to you? I'm just like a small spark in the presence of a great fire. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.9. Srila Prabhupada. In the 10th canto of 14th chapter, verse 9 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a statement by Brahma. My dear Lord, just see my impudence. You are the unlimited original personality of Godhead, the Supersoul, and you rule over the most perfect illusory energies. And just see my impudence. I want to supersede you by my own personal power. And I was very puffed up with this tiny power of mine, just as a simple spark from a fire cannot do any harm to the fire. So my bewildering potency was completely unsuccessful in thwarting your superior illusory power. Therefore, I find myself to be most insignificant and think of myself as a most useless person. The statement by Brahma is an instance of lamentation caused by committing an offense. Jiva Goswami. Aryan means the condition of a well-bred person, Aryaha. The opposite of that is condition of an uncultured person, Anaryam. What was that? I desired, I chum, to see, Ikshitum, your Atma, great power, by Bhava. This was already mentioned in the previous chapter. O Maharaj Parikit, Brahma, who resides in the higher planetary system in the sky, had observed the activities of the most powerful Krishna in killing and delivering Agasura, and he was astonished. Now that same Brahma wanted to show some of his own power and see the power of Krishna, who was engaged in his childhood pastimes, playing as if with ordinary cowherd boys. Therefore, in Krishna's presence, Brahma took all the boys and calves to another place. Thus he became entangled, for in that very near future he would see how powerful Krishna was. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.13.5. If that is the case, what is the fault in doing so? Brahma then explains, to see your powers, I tried to extend my powers beyond yours. But how low am I, Kriyat? He gives an example of his lowness. I am just like the spark of a fire. So, point being, the spark of a fire, that cannot overcome the fire. So that someone is applying their prowess against someone else's prowess, then one could ask, what's the fault in that? Because it's something that you'll see happening. But the point comes up here is that when you have the spark of a fire, the fire, and then you try to apply that to a very big fire, it doesn't make any sense. So Brahma, knowing, you know, his position compared to the Supreme Lord, then, you know, it's that's the how you say it? That would be, it's a good analogy, but he's not quite convinced that this child is Krishna, the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he's applying his power. But then we see Krishna very, very comfortably takes care of the whole thing. You know, because he goes away for a moment, but then Krishna holds these forms for a year. It's not like everybody's, you know, feeling upset for that 1 year. It's just everything's going on perfectly well for that whole year. In fact, it's going very nicely, because now Krishna's in everybody's family. Yes. 2420. So, because of this offense, that's then generating this feeling of lamentation. Right? So we can see is that you have a main relationship, right? And then you have other things that come up, can come up from that direct aspect. But then the mind, as it continues thinking and all that, or applying itself, then it can get into all these other elements of consideration. Does that make sense? So therefore, then you have these vyabhichari bhavas coming up. And they'll come up for a short amount of time, but they're not the main relationship. Does that make sense? And so then the vyabhichari itself coming up, the 33, each one of them has 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different reasons that it could come up. Right? And we see is that they may not just come one at a time. They may come in groups, just like the Anubhavas and the Sattvika Bhavas may come in groups. So all that together, that's rasa. So Rupa Goswami is breaking down into each part and showing how each part works. Right? And then with this way, then they're able to appreciate the different rasas that are going on. So, yeah. Because you see many times then one devotee is describing to another devotee about a third devotee about what ecstatic symptoms they're going through and what the mood is and all those things. 2420. Another example of remorse arising from committing offense. Having stolen the Shamataka jewel, I have fallen into the mouth of terrible hell, having fallen in the Vaitarani River. What boat should I use to cross over it? Jiva Goswami, these are thoughts of Akrura. Instead of Kamva, Kimva is also found. This is more refined speech. It would then mean, will I be able to cross the Vaitarani River? Footnote 12. There's a play on words with Shamantakam and Antakam, and Taranim and Vaitaraniyam. Right. So he's fallen to hell, and so then surrounding hell is the Vaitarani River. And so that river is the one that you have to cross. If you're going to get to the nicer portions, you have to cross that river. Right? And so, depending upon... So he's fallen into it. So if you've fallen into it, that means it's a hellish condition. If you have a boat, that means it's not a hellish condition. Does that make sense? Those who are coming to see Yamaraj because they're pious, they also cross the Vaitarani. But it's not a hellish condition. They're on a boat and it's a nice river. But if you don't have a boat and you have to swim on your own, then that means it's a hellish condition and the river will manifest as such. So it manifests either way. So he's saying it's a hellish condition and he has no boat. So this is the origin of up a creek without a paddle. And here you don't even have the boat. Yes, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like... Yeah, so if we had a paddle, we could paddle if only we had a boat.
Yes.
Yeah, that kind of. Or if we had a boat, we could paddle if we only had a paddle.
Yes.
Either way. Does that make sense? Huh? Yeah, okay. And the same time, is even though he's saying these things, he's still saying it very nicely. In a very poetic way, because as Vaishnavs, then they're poetic. So he's also then the Shamantakam and Antakam, like that. So then it works out very nicely. 2.4.21. Thinking oneself a low creature because of sorrow, fear, or offense is called Dainyam or Dinata. In this state, there are words of flattery, feebleness of the heart, impurity of the heart, thinking various thoughts and immobility of the limbs. Srila Prabhupada. Humility. A sense of weakness caused by distress, fear or offensiveness is called humility. In such a humble condition, one becomes talkative, small in heart, dirty in mind, full of anxiety and inactive. Srila Jiva Goswami. Anaur jityam means thinking of oneself extremely fallen and despicable. Chatu means making eloquent requests. Mandyam refers to sickness of the heart. Malinya means impurity. Chinta means thinking various thoughts. 2.4.22. Humility arising from sorrow. So this is the third of the... Right? Nirved reports, thinking oneself unqualified. Dainyam or Dinata? Yeah. Okay. Humility arising from sorrow from the 10th canto. For so long I have been pained by troubles in this world and have been burning with lamentation. My six enemies are never satiated, and I can find no peace. Therefore, O giver of shelter, O Supreme Lord, please protect me. O Lord, in the midst of danger, I have, by good fortune, approached your lotus feet, which are the truth, and which thus make one fearless and free of sorrow. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:51-57. In the 10th canto of 51st chapter, verse 57 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the following statement by King Muchukunda. Quote, my dear Lord, because of my bad deeds in the past, I am everlastingly aggrieved. I am always suffering from my desires, but still my senses are never satisfied with material enjoyments. Somehow or other, by your grace, I am now in a peaceful condition because I have taken shelter of your lotus feet, which are always free from all lamentation, fear, and death. O Supreme Protector, O Supreme Soul, O Supreme Controller, kindly give your protection. I am so much embarrassed. End quote. This statement by Muchukunda is an instance of humility arising from a severely miserable condition of material existence. 2.4.23. Lowness arising from fear, from the first canto. O my Lord, you are all-powerful. A fiery iron arrow is coming towards me fast. My Lord, let it burn me personally, if you so desire, but please do not let it burn and abort my embryo. Please do me this favor, my Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.10. Srila Prabhupada. When Uttara was attacked by the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama, she became afraid of losing her child, Maharaj Parikit, who was still within the womb. She immediately surrendered to Krishna and said, my dear Lord, kindly save my child. I do not mind if I myself must be killed by the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama. This is an instance of humility caused by fear. Jiva Goswami. The mother of Parikit speaks. Thinking that her son, still in the womb, would be worthy of serving the Lord, and thinking of herself as incapable of doing anything, prays to Krishna. Tapat yaso saras means an arrow of iron emitting fire. 2.4.24. Lowness arising from committing an offense, from the 10th canto. Therefore, O infallible one, O infallible Lord, kindly excuse my offenses. I have taken birth in the mode of passion, and am therefore simply foolish, presuming myself a controller independent of your lordship. My eyes are blinded by the darkness of ignorance, which causes me to think of myself as the unborn creator of the universe. But please consider that I am your servant, and therefore worthy of your compassion. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.10. In the 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse 10 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma says, so this is the same chapter, no? Yeah, that's 14.9, 14.10. So you see in 14.9, he's experiencing the remorse. In 14.10, it's this humility. So all these different, that's the meaning of the centuries. They just keep moving. O infallible one, I am bored in the mode of passion, and therefore I have been falsely proud of being the creator of this material world. My false pride was just like dense darkness, and in this darkness I had become blind. In my blindness I was considering myself a competitor to you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But my dear Lord, even though I am accepted as the creator of this universe, I am eternally your servant. Therefore, kindly always be compassionate towards me, and excuse me in that way. This statement by Brahma is another instance of humility resulting from committing an offense. Jiva Goswami. So you see here that committing an offense, like that is common with these two sancharis, right? But one generates remorse, one generates humility. Right? But they can have that, they can have common. So many of these sancharis will have common reasons for coming up, but which one comes up, that will be different. Jiva Goswami. I think of myself as the creator of the universe, Aja, with eyes blinded by pride in the form of deep ignorance, Andatama. I think of myself as a lord separate from you, though still thinking myself as a controller even now. I, Eshaha, am the object of your mercy, Anukampya. How is that? I am your servant, Natavan. But Brahma, what is the purpose of you being a servant? You will think. I accept Brahma as my servant in order that he attain me. Mayi ita. Right? So that the idea is that of being servant, then one attains Krishna. So one's always in that mood of service. But the point is then one attains a relationship with Krishna in which the rasa itself, the sthayi bhava, may not be servitorship, right? But in some way, it's you attain the Lord, and in that way, you please the Lord through the particular relationship that you have. 2.4.25. The word adya and dukkha, trasa parajyayer, verse 21, indicates that dainyam also arises from shame. This is illustrated in the Bhagavatam. Dear Krishna, don't be unfair. We know that you are the respectable son of Nanda and that you are honored by everyone in Braja. You are also very dear to us. Please give us back our clothes. We are shivering in the cold water. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.22.14. Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes there is humility due to shyness. For example, when Krishna stole all the garments from the gopis while they were bathing in the river, all of them begged Krishna not to commit this injustice upon them. The gopis addressed him thus, Dear Krishna, we know that you are the son of Nanda Maharaj, and you are the most beloved of all Vrindavan, and you are very much loved by us also. But why are you giving us this trouble? Kindly return our garments. Just see how we are trembling from the severe cold. This humility was due to their shyness from being naked before Krishna. 2.4.26. Ojas, whose ruling deity is the moon, produces strength and nourishment in the body. When it decreases by physical exertion, mental anxiety, or the sexual act, the weakened state is called glani or mlani. In the state of glani or languishing, there is trembling, indecision, changing of color, becoming thin, and throwing glances here and there. Right? So then this is going to be the next stage, this glani. Right? What was it called back here? Debility. Srila Prabhupada. Guilt. When a person blames himself for committing an inappropriate action, this feeling is called guilt. What was the other one it said?
Remorse.
Debility. Right. So then Prabhupada's shown that that's guilt, because that's what it means. The effect is that, but that's the mood that's being there. 2.4.27. Glani arising from physical exertion. One time, Radha was churning yogurt for Krishna. At that time, I guess it's her, right? Instead of here. Her jewel-studded bracelet on her hand began to shake. Her lips began to sing the glories of Krishna, living in Vraja. In fear of her elders, her eyes began to move about. Churning the yogurt in this way, she became extremely tired and could not move her limbs. Srila Prabhupada. One day, Srimati Radharani was churning yogurt for Krishna. At that time, the jeweled bangles on her hands were circling around, and she was also chanting the holy name of Krishna. All of a sudden, she thought, I am chanting the holy name of Krishna, and my superiors, my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law, may hear me. By this thought, Radharani became over-anxious. This is an instance of feeling guilty because of devotion to Krishna. Right? Yeah. So the guilt is that what is there, and it creates that debility. Okay. 2.4.28. You know, it's just like we were discussing before on that point of, what was it? In Russian, he was saying you have two ways of why.
Reason.
Means the purpose.
And reason. And
purpose
reason.
And the...
Purpose and reason.
And purpose and reason. So the same way is that it's the same thing. It's just a matter of which aspect you're bringing out. So the effect will be that of debility, right? But the aspect of guilt is then what's causing it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's how you tell the difference between them. Because otherwise then you can be as you can't function. The body can't function, but it's caused by something else. You know, stunning or fainting or all the like this. 2.4.28. Another example. In order to string an incomparable garland for Krishna, doe-eyed Radha went into an inaccessible forest. While picking the beautiful flowers, she became very weak for a few moments due to exhaustion. Srila Prabhupada. One day, the beautiful-eyed Srimati Radharani entered into the forest to collect some flowers to prepare a garland for Krishna. While collecting the flowers, she became afraid that someone might see her. She felt some fatigue and weakness. This is an instance of guilty feelings caused by labor for Krishna. Right? So this is, so it was devotion to Krishna, guilt because of devotion, now this is guilt because of labor. Right? Because otherwise we'd just see, oh, she's doing work, she's becoming weak. And we would just take it that that's the cause of it. But it's actually that the mood. Because one's energy basically is based on the attitude of the person. Right? Does that make sense? You know, because it's not based on necessarily the physical condition. The physical condition, of course, can have something to do with it, but it's more about the mental attitude that's there. So it's just like, let's say, the weather's very bad and cold, and because of feeling bad, you don't feel very good, so then it affects you more. But if it's cold, but you feel good, it doesn't matter. Does that make sense? So we have to see is there's an attitude here also. It's not just the situation. 2429. Fatigue due to mental anxieties. Because of the summer heat, the lake's water dries up and becomes devoid of lotuses and water birds. Madhava, in a similar way, in separation, your mother Jashoda, devoid of happiness, has become weakened. Her soul has departed and her body is withering away. 2430. Fatigue arising from amorous actions, from rasa, shudhakara. At the conclusion of amorous activities, Krishna raised Radha very carefully from the bed. Radha then held his hand and came to the veranda of the house, shining with moonlight. Srila Prabhupada. There's a statement in rasa shudhakara that after passing the night with Krishna, Radharani became so weak that she was unable to get up from bed. When Krishna took her hand to help her, Radharani felt guilty about having passed the night with him. Does that make sense? So you see here is that Prabhupada's putting these things down. Otherwise, we would take it from a very different angle. Mm-hmm. Right? Because of how we would translate the word. Right? Because we're taking it that there's a mechanical aspect here. But if you're dealing with rasa, it's the emotional aspect. Mm-hmm. And that then generates other things like that. So that's why it's the importance of seeing the two together. Because one, you see the mechanics very nicely. But without Prabhupada's points that are being made, one wouldn't understand actually the proper attitude. Otherwise, you just saw, yeah, you're physically doing something. It's with Krishna, physically going out and picking flowers, you know, physically churning the yogurt. And so, yeah, it's just that you do something physical, then you're going to get weak. But we see in all these is the actual common point is the guilt. But the guilt is coming from different reasons. 2431. Fatigue arising from, like, she's not fatigued for the whole night. It's only when you have to get up. Because when you have to get up, then you have to figure out what's going to happen for the day. Right? And so at that time, then that is coming up. 2431. Fatigue arising from losing the way. Dancing or amorous activities is called shrama. In this state, sleep, perspiration, rubbing the body, yawning, and heavy breathing appear. Srila Prabhupada. Fatigue. Okay, so this must be the next one. So fatigue, shrama. So, because we would take debility as fatigue, but it's actually, it has that aspect of fatigue, but it's caused by guilt. Srila Prabhupada, fatigue. One feels fatigue after walking a long distance, after dancing, and after sexual activity. In this kind of fatigue, there is dizziness, perspiration, inactivity of the limbs, yawning, and very heavy breathing. 2432. Fatigue from losing the way. When Krishna offended his mother and fled away, she pursued her son in Vraja. Her hair became unbound and she began to perspire. Srila Prabhupada. One day, Jashoda was chasing Krishna in the yard after he had offended her. After a while, Jashoda became very fatigued, and therefore she was perspiring, and her bunched hair became loosened. This is an instance of becoming fatigued because of working too much. 2.4.33. At a festival performed for Krishna, Baladev, surrounded by his singing friends on the bank of the Jamuna River, began to dance, moving his body about while his pearl necklace shook. His body became covered in perspiration. Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes all of the cowherd friends of Krishna, along with Balaram, danced together in some ceremony. At these times, the garlands on their necks would move, and the boys would begin to perspire. Their whole bodies became wet from their ecstatic dancing. This is an incident of fatigue caused by dancing. 2.4.34. Right, so these are all in context of Krishna. So you can see as these all are creating some kind of ecstatic position. Right, the material world, most of these would be considered negative. But actually, they're actually a positive thing because of their connection with Krishna. 2.4.34. From amorous actions from the 10th canto. Saying that the gopis were fatigued from conjugal enjoyment, my dear king, merciful Krishna lovingly wiped their faces with his comforting hand. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.33.20. Srila Prabhupada. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, 33rd chapter, verse 20, it is said that after enjoying love affairs with Krishna by dancing, embracing, and kissing, the gopis would sometimes become very tired, and Krishna, out of his causeless mercy and compassion, would smear their faces with his lotus hands. This is an example of fatigue caused by laboring in the rasa dance. 2.4.35. Okay, then the next one. Rapture, mada. Rapture, which destroys all sense of discriminating power, is called mada. There are two types, arising from intoxication and arising from extreme transformations due to love. In this state, there is stumbling while walking, uncoordinated movement of the limbs, and uncoordinated speaking. The eyes roll and the face becomes red. 2.4.36. Right, so you see, yeah. Rapture arising from intoxication from Lalita Madhava. Baladev arrived with disheveled hair, fully intoxicated with liquor. He began to shout. The ant-like kings, being defeated, are hiding in some hole. I will smash the whole universe. O Indra, plaything of Sachi, why are you laughing? Srila Prabhupada. Intoxication. When one becomes arrogant with false prestige due to drinking intoxicants or being too lustful, the voice becomes faulty, the eyes become swollen, and there are symptoms of redness on the body. There is a statement in the Lalita Madhava that Lord Baladev, intoxicated from drinking excessive quantities of honey, once began to address the ants. O you kings of the ants, why are you hiding yourself in these holes? At the same time, he also addressed the King of Heaven. O King Indra, you plaything of Sachi, why are you laughing? I am now prepared to smash the whole universe, and I know that Krishna will not be angry with me. Another example, 2.4.37, another example of intoxication from a traditional work. O Krishna, tell me immediately, is the earth swerving? Is the moon wobbling? O Yadus, why are you laughing? Give me some wine in a glass. In this way, sitting in his house, Balaram stuttered while speaking. May that Balaram give you blessings. Oh, from a traditional work, meaning a book.
I'm not sure which book it was.
Yes, okay. 2.4.38.
They got it. But
unless this was
it,
yeah. That, unless it, if it's in Russia, it is a traditional work,
yeah,
like that. You know, possibly even the whole East Bloc, right? You know, it's like that. When a person becomes intoxicated with liquor, the superior person falls asleep. The second best person laughs and sings. The lowest person shouts, uses rough words, and weeps. Right?
We know a lot of fights.
That's the last one. Shouts, you use rough words, weeps, you know, fight, yeah, like that. Sometimes also you see that a little bit of fighting in the second one. Like that. But that, but the superior person, it's just, it's strange. You just go to sleep. The intoxication, you know. And then the second flash person, now he goes, yeah, now it's happening, you know. And then the third person, then they're just crazy and lament and this and that. And yeah. 2439. So in other words, a person in goodness, a person in passion, a person in ignorance. 2439. That's another thing. But if they do, they get intoxicated, they'll go to sleep. 2439. There are three types of intoxication according to the stage of intoxication. However, in this work, these will not be discussed as they are not very useful to the topic. Right? Because the topic's about the rasa that is being experienced. So these other technical things, that's not. Srila Prabhupada. In this state of intoxication, Balaram felt tired and laid down for rest. Generally, those who are exalted personalities lie down when they feel intoxicated, whereas those who are mediocre laugh and sing during intoxication. And those who are lowly use vulgar language and sometimes cry. Such intoxication is manifested according to different ages and mentalities. Srila Rupa Goswami does not describe further in this direction because there is no necessity for such a discussion. Yeah. You know, so when they're all standing around the piano and somebody's playing and they're all singing loudly songs, then that's the mode of passion ones. Right? Because typically it's always the guys, you know, they're at war and they got a little break and, yeah. 2440. Rapture arising from love. So this is... Okay, rapture. Okay. O Vrinda, see this astonishing thing. Radha, in the rapture of new love, gazing at Krishna in front of her, sometimes frowns, sometimes wanders about, sometimes laughs, sometimes weeps, sometimes covers her face, sometimes prattles, and sometimes repeatedly offers respects to her friends. Srila Prabhupada. There is another description of the symptom of intoxication in the person of Sri Radharani, after she saw Krishna. Sometimes she was walking hither and thither. Sometimes she was laughing. Sometimes she was covering her face. Sometimes she was talking without any meaning. And sometimes she was praying to her associate gopis. Seeing these symptoms in Radharani, the gopis began to talk among themselves. Just see how Radharani has become intoxicated simply by seeing Krishna before her. This is an instance of ecstatic love in intoxication, right? So seeing these symptoms, then the gopis are able to understand and appreciate the position. Okay? When you get that same, you know, in the material world, mudda, but then you're just in total illusion, right? You know, the first example could be Scarface, and then the other example is, you know, any of these Playboy kind of personalities, you know, Casanova or something. They always end up in trouble. Right? 2441. Treating others with contempt due to one's own good fortune, due to youthful beauty, due to one's good qualities, due to taking shelter of the Lord, or due to attaining one's object of love is called garva or haughtiness. Right, so yeah, so next, pride, garva, haughtiness. 2442. Yeah, in this state there are joking words, not giving answers by one's own choice, showing off one's body, concealing one's intentions, and not hearing others' words. Srila Prabhupada. Pride. Expressions of ecstatic love and pride may be the result of excessive wealth, exquisite beauty, a first-class residence, or the attainment of one's ideal goal. One is also considered proud when he does not care about the neglect of others. Right, so you'll see, as we say, all these things you'll have here in the material world. And so these give rise to all that, you know, craziness that goes on in universe. I mean, how you say in school, you know, the queen bee and all the, what do you call it, the cheerleaders and that. And, you know, because they're generally from good families like that are intelligent. They look good. They have money and all that. So because of this pride, then they also do this. They show off. They don't care about others, this and that, so many different things. But here it's a problem. But you see here in the spiritual world, as it'll be brought up, then it has that natural, ecstatic position. that make sense? So the point coming is that we have to have that understanding of that faith, that because of the connection to Krishna, it makes it all perfect. And when it's not connected to Krishna, it will always create a problem. Right? So it's not the quality itself, because we're used to that this quality means it's bad. You know, it's just like the impersonalist will say forms and qualities are bad, therefore the Supreme must be impersonal. Right? But we can also have a little touch of that where we say, this quality here in this material world is bad, therefore in the spiritual world it can't be good. So they can't have that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we have to be careful of this, because it's the same thing. But one is acting in a static, a trance, and the other is just a mundane consideration.
Enclosing a material
consideration. Yes. So in other words, seeing the material condition within karma from the platform of jnana, then we're saying the spiritual can't have that. What we don't understand is that if it's there, there's an origin. But in the spiritual world, it's just rasa. It adds to that relationship with Krishna. But in the material world, it's just another thing to drive us crazy. Because even things that should be nice, they can still drive you crazy. Right? 2443. Haughtiness arising from good fortune, from Krishna Karinamrita. O Krishna, it is really astonishing if you can give up holding. Is it really astonishing if you can give up holding my hand? I will consider you a real man if you can take yourself from my heart. Srila Prabhupada. Bilva Mangal Thakur said, my dear Krishna, you are leaving me, forcibly getting out of my clutches. But I shall be impressed by your strength only when you can go forcibly from the core of my heart. Right? So physically he's not there. But to leave the core of his heart, then he'll say, then he'd be impressed. This is an instance of feeling pride and ecstatic love for Krishna. So they're so absorbed in Krishna that they're just saying that Krishna can't leave their heart. But that's because of them being absorbed in Krishna. Jiva Goswami. Krishna giving up her hand is not actually in her own interest. Such statements are made in love and sorrow. 2444. Haughtiness arising from beauty. Endowed with the beauty of youth, my friend Radha is fortunate, having taken shelter of the form of natural sweetness. How can she glance at you, who have enjoyed hundreds upon hundreds of women of Raja, and then abandoned them? Srila Prabhupada. Once during the Rasa dance, when Radharani left the arena, and Krishna went to seek her out, one of the dear friends of Radharani addressed Krishna thus, my dear Krishna, you have been very much obliging in serving the form of our Sri Radharani, and now you have left all the other gopis to search for her. Please allow me to inquire how you want her to treat you. This is an instance of feeling pride on account of exquisite beauty.
She's feeling proud because Radharani will reach her.
Yes. Like that. So therefore, how are you expecting her to treat you? Because she's so beautiful and all that. And like that. And you've left all the other gopis to be with her. So now, how is she supposed to treat you? So it's just that pride. It makes that, and then you see in another moment, then it's taking on another quality where that humility is there, and other qualities. So it's just one of the qualities that come up. That's why it mentions about youthful pride. Right? So it just means that particular beauty and everything is there. 2445. Haughtiness arising from good qualities. The cowherd boys can make unlimited garlands of the most beautiful, fragrant flowers. But Krishna, showing great astonishment at the skill in its making, will eagerly hold over his heart my garland. Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes Radharani felt pride within herself and said, although the cowherd boys prepare nice flower garlands for Krishna, when I present my garland to him, he becomes struck with wonder and immediately accepts it and puts it on his heart. The others, then they'll give him and he'll be happy with them because they're made very nicely. Most beautiful, fragrant flower. It's very nice. But when Krishna gets a garland from Radharani, he'll hold it to his heart. Like that. So then she's proud of that position. But it's in relation to Krishna. It's that affection for Krishna. Is that, we're good? 2446. From taking the shelter of the Lord, from the 10th canto. O Madhava, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of the Goddess of Fortune, if devotees completely in love with you sometimes fall from the path of devotion, they do not fall like non-devotees, for you still protect them. Thus they fearlessly traverse the heads of their opponents and continue to progress in devotional service. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.33. Srila Prabhupada. Similarly, in the 10th canto, 2nd chapter, verse 33 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma says, My dear Madhusudana, persons who are pure devotees of your lordship actually feel your ecstatic friendship, and as such they are never vanquished by enemies. They know they are always protected by you, and so they can matter-of-factly pass over the heads of their enemies without any care. In other words, one who has taken complete shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord is always proud of being able to conquer all enemies. Right? Because Krishna, if Krishna's there, then where there's Krishna, there can be no darkness. So if you're remembering Krishna, absorbed in Krishna, how the enemies will attack. Right? Because lust, anger, greed, envy, attack, they all mean it's because of forgetting Krishna. On that side. And then if you're talking about being properly situated, then any other obstacle, how can that get in the way of devotional service? Because Krishna is the controller of everything. So they're always going to be absorbed in Krishna. So if you're always remembering Krishna, you've won. That's actually the position. Yes.
Srila Prabhupada always exemplified this way, that you can overcome any obstacle and challenge and face anybody Krishna.
Yes. Does that make sense? So that absorption in Krishna, that's the key to overcoming all difficulties. So then here is because they're... Because Krishna is the one who conquers everything. So that absorption in Krishna then generates this mood. So, Two, 4, 47. Haughtiness from attaining one's desired object. O moon of Vrindavan, receiving your excellent mercy in great bliss, I have become proud. Today my heart does not even desire the mercy of the Lord of Vaikuntha, which is sought by the minds of the sages. Srila Prabhupada, one weaver at Mathura addressed Krishna in this way, My dear King of Vrindavan, I have become so proud of your causeless mercy upon me that I do not even count upon the mercy of the Lord of Vaikuntha, which is sought after by many great sages in deep meditation. In other words, although the yogis and great sages sit in meditation upon Lord Vishnu, who is residing in Vaikuntha, a devotee of Krishna is so proud he does not consider such meditation to be very valuable. The feeling of pride is due to one's having achieved the highest goal of life, Krishna. Right, so attaining Krishna, then nothing else is important. Right? Does that make sense? So in that way, then they won't care for anything else. 2448. So that's another point of that we see is then in being fixed in devotional service. Anishta is where one has the faith that devotional service, by performing that, you accomplish all other religious principles. So then there's no need to separately endeavor for them except for how they function as service to you. Or your service. You know what I'm saying? In the context of your service. Does that make sense? So before one thinks, oh, well, let's say I have to perform an occupation and by that then, you know, take care of myself. But no, so it's simply one is doing things in devotion for Krishna. And in that, there's going to be the duties of performing your occupation. So from that, it will take care of it. But it's devotion that's taking care of, because the reason you're performing the activity is because of devotion to Krishna. Krishna wants it. Like all the Yadus, do they not have duties? The cowherd boys, do they not have duties? Yeah, they're all performing their duties. And so because of performing their duties, that's why then they're getting... I mean, so because of doing that devotion to Krishna, they're doing the duties, and that gives them... Does that make sense? You know, so it's just like this. Let us say, for example, I'm cooking. Okay? Now... You take the knife, you cut up the potatoes. What's the actual cause of cutting up at the potatoes? We could say it's the knife, but actually it's the cooking. Because if you weren't cooking, you wouldn't be cutting up potatoes. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. So since in the material world we don't have the original thing, all we have is cutting potatoes. So we're trying to gain happiness by cutting potatoes, grating potatoes, boiling potatoes, smashing potatoes, throwing potatoes, growing potatoes, like all this. But we don't know why that we're supposed to be cooking. So in the same ways, we don't know it's all about Krishna. And so therefore, we're doing all these other ritualistic activities, these other religious activities, thinking that they're important because they get results. But the point is we forget why the results are there. They're just to please Krishna. Therefore, if it's in context of your service to Krishna, then the religious activity has a value. And if not, it's not important. Right? Does that make sense? So bhakti is the one that's the cause of these things. It's already included. But we tend to take it that, you know, you have all these activities, and then bhakti is just another activity. We're not taking that. No, bhakti is the all-inclusive. You know, just like we'll take the impersonal as has this, and then there's Krishna. No, it's Krishna is the all-inclusive. Does that make sense? Yeah. 2448. Apprehension due to committing theft. Okay, so that's the next one. Shanka, apprehension, yes. Apprehension due to committing theft, offense, or others' cruelty is called shanka. In this state, there is drying of the mouth, change of complexion, glancing in all directions, and hiding oneself. 2449. Apprehension from theft. After stealing the calves and cowherd boys, out of pride, Brahma desiring to disappear from Krishna's presence, out of great apprehension, glanced with his eight eyes in the eight directions. Yeah, so he can glance about without even moving his head, right? Srila Prabhupada.
Can he move his head?
Huh?
Can he move his head?
Yeah, he can move his head.
At the same time? All the four?
Yeah, why not? All right, can you Dizzy. Move? Can you move both arms at once? You know? No, but he's designed, he doesn't. You know, it's just like, have you seen these chameleons? You know, one eye is looking forward, one's back, and they're both moving in different directions, and they can see both of them. So Brahma can see all four, and it works for him. You know, it's like the guy who looks at all the security cameras. He can see all of them, doesn't become dizzy. So.
It requires training.
Huh?
It requires training.
Yes, but him just being born as Brahma, you know, comes with the inheritance.
And he's as small as Brahma.
Yes. Yeah, and he only has four heads. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 10 million heads.
Yeah, no, that's some serious headage right there. Right there. Okay, so stop. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.